even as we should be slow to anger, so we should be slow to judge. He who hastens to be angry will pay for it later. So he who hastens to judge will also pay for it later. If you looked in the bulletin, you'll notice that my sermon for tonight is titled, Be Slow to Judge. And I'd like to give you several points about that. The first one, based on John chapter 7, is this. Jesus shows us here that we should be slow to judge by not judging according to appearance. And that's something that is easy to do, is it not? We live in this world, and we operate by what we see with our eyes. We operate by what we hear with our ears. So our first inclination is to judge according to appearance. But Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Excuse me. It is necessary for us to make judgments in this world. And he understands that. That's why he tells us that when we do it, we need to make sure that it's righteous judgment. But the way to make sure that it's righteous judgment is not to do it by appearance. Secondly, based on Proverbs 18, be slow to judge by hearing the facts. Perhaps I should hasten to add, all the facts. Be slow to judge by hearing the facts. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We may have a prejudice. We may have a bias. We may think we have a reason for making a judgment against someone. But Solomon warns here that if we answer a matter, if we make a decision, if we make a judgment, especially about another person, before we've heard the facts, it's only going to be to our folly and shame. Thirdly, and this one's closely related to number two, and it's based again on John chapter 7. Be slow to judge by hearing from the accused. Boy, is this important. We hear things about other people all the time, don't we? And if we're not careful, we'll form judgments about them before we've actually heard them present their case or be able to defend the charges against them. In John chapter 7, the Jewish Sanhedrin is gathered together and they're deciding what to do about Jesus Christ. And they've already made their decision without bringing him in and hearing from him, although they attempted to do so. Watch what happens now, beginning at verse 45 of John 7. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees. In other words, the Pharisees had sent out some men to arrest Jesus. They come back empty-handed. And so the officers said, the Pharisees said, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. We've heard him. We didn't get second-hand or third-hand or fourth-hand or whatever information. We heard him directly. And we don't think you can judge him is really what they were saying. Verse 47. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus. He who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, now listen to this statement very carefully, please. Does our law judge a man before it hears from him and knows what he is doing? Well, he rebuked them pretty severely there, really, and they felt it. You men, he is saying, you've made a judgment about this Jesus, and you've not even heard from him yet. You have not heard him speak on his own behalf. You've not heard him defend the charges against him, and you've judged him. And let me tell you something. According to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, our law is better than their law. So if they should have operated that way, we even more so should operate that way. Verse 52, they just brushed him off. They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Now, how can I know if I've judged a person before I've heard from them? Well, for one thing, we can examine what we think of that person. What is my opinion of that person? And why do I think of him or her in that way? And did I get my information firsthand or secondhand? Another test is, how do you approach that person? When you hear something, do you go to confront? In other words, you've already made up your mind. Or do you go to investigate? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, the Israelites were told not to believe everything they hear from all these other sources, but you need to go investigate. Here's what it says, beginning at verse 12 of Deuteronomy 13. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you shall attack the city and tear it down and kill everyone? No. They don't just accept the charges, but they recognize, God through Moses and Moses himself recognized, these are their brethren. These are their brothers and sisters. So they were to inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such abomination was committed among you, so on. Leaving the door open that the charges might not be true. That's why they're to inquire and search and investigate. Because sometimes the things we hear are not right. If the king in the book of Esther had done that, he never would have allowed a law to go into effect that would exterminate the people of his own wife, of his own queen. Same thing in Daniel chapter 6. If the king there had heard from Daniel or the Jews or whatever before he allowed a law to go into effect that could cause him to lose his most prized counselor, he never would have put that law into effect. In Job chapter 29, the Bible shows us one of the reasons why Job was a blameless, upright man who turned away from evil and feared God. When you open up the book of Job, that's the fourfold description you have of him. Why? Here's one of the things he did as revealed in Job 29, verse 16. He said, I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. So in other words, before he made a judgment, before he acted on something he had heard, he searched it out. He went to find out if it was true or not. Now I know that Job didn't know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But you know, in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, love believes all things. Love hopes all things. In other words, love is not looking for a reason to tear down. Love is hoping for the best. Love wants to believe the best. So if anything, love might even have a bias in favor of it, rather than trying to tear down. Number four. And this will be based, first of all, on Romans chapter 14. Be slow to judge by not playing God. In the passages that I'm about ready to show you, the Bible shows, especially in the second one that I'll show you, that you know if we're not careful when we judge, we're playing God. Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says this. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Then when you go over to James chapter 4, James, right from verse 1, is dealing with problems among brethren. And he gets pretty stern in some of the things that he says. But then as he hits verses 11 and 12, he gives this warning that I believe shows that if we're not careful, if we do not judge according to the Scriptures, we're attempting to play God. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Now the reason for that is because of all the passages I've already shown you. The Bible says, here's how you operate. But now I've made the decision, I don't want to operate that way. Here's what I'm going to do. Well, see, I'm taking the place of God. I'm saying I can dispense with parts of His Word when I so desire. That's taking the place of God. He continues there in verse 11. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? We don't need another lawgiver. We don't need another judge. We already have one of those. In Luke chapter 9, the time is drawing closer and closer to when Jesus is going to end up being crucified. So he's heading for Jerusalem, and he has his face set. You've probably seen someone like that walking down the street or walking in the store. You may have even had said hi to them, and they didn't even notice you. You know, they just got their face set. They know which aisle they want to go down. They know what business they're going through or whatever. And they don't notice anything else. I think Jesus was like that as he was walking along. And notice what happens beginning at verse 51 of Luke 9. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. James and John, good men, and they would be even better later. But these men were taking the place of God. And they forgot why Jesus came. He did not come to destroy people, to tear them down and look for things wrong with them. He came to build them up. Because they were already under judgment. You know, most of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so on. Well, the reason God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son is because of what he said in verse 18 of John 3. The world's already under judgment. The world is already under judgment. So what they need is the Savior. And we certainly need to be dealing with each other in the same way. Number five. Be slow to judge by not being hypocritical. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew 7, Jesus gives a teaching that is so often misinterpreted and misapplied as saying that we should never judge in any fashion whatsoever. So I've kind of held this passage towards the end on purpose. I've shown you a bunch of passages that show that there's a place and a time for judging. And of course, it must be done in the right spirit. It must be godly, tender, and kind, and with the purpose of building a person up and not tearing them down, and so forth. But now listen very carefully to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For, here's one reason why, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Am I sincerely wanting to help others, or am I trying to divert attention from my own sins and faults upon another? In verses 1 and 2, Jesus showed that we shall be judged according to our judgment. So he says, judge not. In other words, don't be rash, don't be uncharitable, don't be prejudicial, because it'll come back on you. Don't be the kind of person who only finds fault with others, and when they find it, are merciless, and who have no qualms in labeling another person. Don't be like the person who really seems to have no idea the damage he or she can do, either to themselves or to the lives of other people, when they don't follow the Lord's teaching here. Because once a judgment is made about a person, you know, even if it's proven not to be true, it's hard to erase in a lot of people's minds. Again, in verse 2, Jesus shows that we should be judged in the same way that we judge others. Judgment shall come from man. If we're harsh, others will be harsh with us. If we're prejudicial, others will make judgments about us before they've heard all the facts about us. If we split hairs, if we nitpick, then people will do the same thing to us. And judgment shall also come from God. In the day when a person will need mercy the most, it won't be given to the fault finder. Now, in verses 3 and 4, Jesus explains more by what he means here when he talks about hypocritical judgment. Look how it begins there in verse 3. And why do you look as though you're looking, not how can I help this brother or this sister? I'm looking for something that is wrong. But Jesus shows us over and over again in his word that's not how we are to relate to one another. Yes, he says the judging brother does not consider, doesn't even think, doesn't give attention to the plank in his own eyes. Imagine the absurdity. A plank. Now, that's not a plank, but it's a big enough piece of wood. And I've got it sticking here in my eye, and there's Phil Joseph. And he's got a speck in his eye, and it's bothering him. Don't you all think we should help him? In fact, what about me? Phil, would you like me to come and work on your eye? You know, probably not.
somebody who's going to work on me, I want to make sure that they don't have any obstructions. I want to make sure that they know what they're doing. It's a delicate process, like a doctor operating on a human body. I mean, you know, you have to hurt the person a little bit. That's not that you're trying to do that on purpose. That's just going to happen when you operate. But the doctor is careful to do minimal damage. You know, to take out the problem and to close up the wound and help it to heal. And so should we be with one another. We must be careful or even be silent if necessary, because we may not know the circumstances in that person's life totally. Now in verse 5, Jesus said, now this is careful to get this, you know, remove that plank out of your eye and then help your brother. So he doesn't say don't ever do anything to help your brother. He doesn't say don't ever make a judgment about him. But man, if you've got a plank in your eye, get it out of there. And then help your brother with the speck. He probably wants the speck out. You know, sometimes we can't get the speck out. I knew a brother in the congregation in North Long Beach who was a mechanic, a diesel mechanic. And one time he got a metal shaving in his eye. And, you know, it started to rust. So, you know, not very big, but it could do a lot of damage to his eye. So he went to the doctor. He went to someone. He wanted that thing out of there. But I wonder what he would have thought if the doctor had a monkey wrench sticking out of his eye. You know, I mean, it just, I don't want your help. No way. So, it's hypocritical judging that Jesus forbids. And the hypocrite here is one who pretends that his major problem is nothing, but he proceeds to help others with their smaller problems. Yet he is not able to help because he is blinded by his own problem. The brother with the speck will appreciate the help when the plank brother gets that plank out of his eye. So we should perhaps use a mirror first, then use the microscope on our brother. Number 6, I believe this is, be slow to judge by not judging in matters of conscience. In Colossians chapter 2, there were many issues that Paul addressed along these lines. And in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 2, he said, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. It was probably common, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe even 100 years ago, for all Americans to have the same diet. And, you know, that's changing. Many people are on different diets for many different reasons. Vegetarianism is becoming more and more popular. How do we treat the vegetarian? We should not judge him or her at all, according to this passage. Back in Romans chapter 14, Paul again addresses this same issue. Earlier I read verse 4, and now in verse 3, he said, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. So not only can I not judge the vegetarian can't judge me either. But love is to be between us. And then in verse 10, Paul said, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the true and righteous judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's yet another passage I'd like to bring up along these lines. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul shows the great liberty that we have in Christ. And people should not judge me for my liberty, but on the other hand, I should not so exercise my liberty, excuse me, that I act in such a way that I don't care for you and how my actions affect you. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul begins like this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For, quoting from Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Eat whatever is set before you. Asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? For I have great liberty in Christ to do many things. But I can't let that liberty be a stumbling block to another. Number seven, be slow to judge by realizing that some things are not our business. Have you noticed how we do that? We look at other people's lives, the way they run their lives, and we judge. But listen to the scriptures. First of all, in Luke chapter 12. Now this one here has always amazed me. Because if there's ever been a righteous judge, if there's ever been someone who can answer all the questions, it's the Lord. But he came here as a preacher and a teacher. And so because of that, watch what he says. Luke 12, 13 and 14. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" That was not his job. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul begins here in this context by speaking about our love for one another. And our love for one another will cause us to do certain things, as well as not do certain things. And notice some of the things that we are to avoid later in the text. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So this is nothing new. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that, here's some ways in which they can increase in their love, you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. And then right along with that is 1 Peter chapter 4. Here in 1 Peter 4, it's interesting to see how, you know, Peter says, you know, don't let anyone suffer. And I want you to notice the things that he lists. The first few things, and then the last one that he throws in there. It's quite interesting. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Finally, for tonight is number 8. Be slow to judge by realizing who judges us. This is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 4. And I want you to notice that Paul lists two possible judges first, and then he gives the third one. He says, the first one, it doesn't matter to me. The second one is biased, and so those don't count. Those aren't any good. It's the third one that matters. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. You know, you could say whatever you wanted about Paul. Sure, he would want people to accept him and loved him just like all of us want. But he knew that in the end, it didn't matter what you had to say about him. Then he said, at the end of verse 3, in fact, I do not even judge myself. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, of course, he made the self-examinations that we're all supposed to do as Christians. And he would look at himself, he would make decisions, and he would have discernment. You know, I should be this way and not that way. I'm getting closer to the image of Christ in these matters, but not in these over here. He knew to do that, and he wasn't speaking about those. And here's why, though, he said he didn't judge himself, or why he couldn't. Watch verse 4. For I know of nothing against myself. Isn't it true that we're self-biased? I'll tell you what. If I'm in a disagreement with someone, and we get in an argument, and you get involved, you're the third party, how am I going to paint myself? I'm the good guy, and he's the bad guy. What's he going to do? He's the good guy, and I'm the bad guy. That tends to be how we operate. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own kindness. There's several passages in the book of Proverbs that show our self-bias. Okay, verse 4 again. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. So although I think I'm pretty good, that doesn't justify me. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Judge nothing before the time. Oh boy, if we would keep that in mind, how slow we would be to judge one another. Realizing that we don't know everything. We don't know, as God does, what verse 5 says, that He's the one who knows the hidden things of darkness. He's the one who knows the counsels of the heart. So ultimately, I stand before God, and you shall stand before God. Yes, let us help one another. Let us talk with one another with the intent of building up and not tearing down. We're going to sing an invitation song. Please think about this song. Please think about the scriptures we've looked at tonight and seek to follow the example of Jesus when He was here on this earth. If we can help you some way tonight by praying for you or some other way, please let us know by coming forward right now as we stand and sing.